Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now last week, the second Sunday of Easter, we heard how believing Thomas, whose natural skepticism was overcome by the fact that a man rose from the dead. We heard about that. And of course, the Christian faith declares that this risen man is God, and that he holds power over life and death. And that means then that Satan is defeated, that sin's power is destroyed, that death is done, just as the prophet prophesied in our reading this morning. Now, Ezekiel, that prophet, he lived in a time before our Lord, before Jesus came. He lived in a time when the church on earth, those who trusted in the Lord and in his promises, when they had abandoned the teaching of God's full message of law and gospel, and they wanted to worship other gods. And so the leaders of that day, the spiritual leaders of the nation, they said, go for it. Just as long as you keep God as your number one God, you can have those other gods too. You want to believe and practice a different set of ethics than what our God teaches? Well, go for it. Just make sure that you do your key religious observances, you know, baptism, confirmation, church once or twice a year, you know, maybe a funeral, and you'll keep God happy. The true faith, of course, in a God who would one day send his son, the seed of a woman, who will save God's people, it had been utterly diluted by that kind of teaching. It had been dispersed and faded to the point that it was almost gone. They had modernized the faith. They'd made it palatable for their day. They'd gotten rid of all of the outmoded or outdated ideas. And so it was popular. It was palatable. And it meant death for them. God our Father, if you know your Old Testament history, he let his people be utterly humbled because of their unfaithfulness. He'd warned them in the old covenant that he'd made with them at Mount Sinai when Moses was there on the mountain. He'd warned them in that covenant that he would not protect them if they ceased to follow him and if they stopped returning to him when they strayed. He said that he would let them be destroyed by a foreign power, and it had happened. About 100 years before Ezekiel's time, the 10 northern tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, they'd been parceled off and scattered by the dominant power in the world that day. And then by the time of Ezekiel in the 600s, the final calamity was upon them because they had not learned from the earlier lesson. And they were carted off to a foreign city, those who were left there in the land, carted off by the powers that be. And watching your culture, watching your nation unravel around you is a sad thing for every generation that has ever witnessed it here on earth. But it was doubly sad for that generation, for people like Ezekiel, because this was a special nation. God had chosen them. He'd chosen this people, Israel, to be the womb through which God would birth the world's salvation. He had promised them alone as a nation with its government and kings and armies. He promised them that he would prosper and protect them in order to crush the serpent of sin's head through one who would be born through them. And if he allowed them to be crushed, some of them had to be asking the question, what is the world's hope if the Savior will not come through us as God promised? Of course, they didn't realize that God does not abandon his own. He does not give them up. He is always faithful to his promises. But they had abandoned him. So he gave them enough rope to hang themselves. He allowed them to reap what they had sown. And the same destruction that the powerful had wreaked on all the nations around them came onto them as well. And of course, there's nothing historically noteworthy about that at all. That same pattern has played itself out again and again and again throughout history. No one would ever have noticed this nation's destruction amongst all the other nations that had been taken over in that era. No one would have noticed if this nation had not been God's people. And so for God to allow this to happen to them seemed to them as though God had abandoned them. But the truth was, they had abandoned God. Their spiritual leaders had ceased to be their shepherds. They had fed the sheep on falsehood, and they'd not called them back to God when they'd strayed. They no longer even knew God's voice, because His voice, His word, had been so watered down for so long. And so the flock of Israel had been scattered throughout the nations. And many of them in that scattering had been destroyed physically by the sword, and spiritually through unbelief. And it's the same for us. We have watered down God's word. We have not wanted to hear all that He has to say to us. We rarely open it up for ourselves to read it. We even fall into habits of hearing God's word less and less often. And we're ignorant then of what His word even says. Yet, more often than not, we act as though we are experts on what God is all about. And we judge God and His church by our wisdom. And we try to fit His word into our schemes. And of course, that means that we've been embarrassed by the unfashionable bits in His word, according to today's standards. It means that we've followed the trend lines in society rather than the Good Shepherd. Repent. Ezekiel prophesied that on a day of clouds and darkness, God, their shepherd, would gather them together. He would unite them in safety as His flock. He would bring them together in faith and feed them with His word and protect them from eternal death. And that happened when from noon till 3 p.m., our Lord suffered on the cross. And you might recall, it's recorded that the sun hid its face, that deep darkness covered that place while our Creator died. And since so few humans who were there did, the creation itself shuddered and wept that the Maker had suffered and died for her. And by His death, our Good Shepherd shepherded His flock to His Father's eternal pastures. And after 3 days, the Good Shepherd rose, ushering in an era of new shepherds who call out with His sheep. They call out to those who know His voice. And His voice, of course, is the message of His salvation, the message of His victory over sin and death. And so they call out to turn away from death, to turn away from yourself. And these shepherds call out with His voice of salvation, declaring life for all. Calling those who are dead to turn away from their death, to turn from themselves. And lo and behold, the dead, who are unable to do anything, the dead turn. They rise. For these shepherds declare, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is your God who has conquered death. He is your good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. And this message has life for all. And those who are His, those who believe it, they thrill to its sound. They recognize its source. They know His voice. And that voice strengthens those who are weak in faith. It binds up the wounds of the hurting and the sorrowful. It brings back those who have strayed from the faith to the sheepfold. Now, there aren't many flocks around Thunder Bay, are there? Pardon? Sheep. There aren't any many flocks of sheep around Thunder Bay, are there? I don't know of any. There are some? Out in Nullaloo, there's a few. But not many of us have probably spent much time with them, have we? So very few of us really know what being a shepherd's all about, do we? I know I knew nothing about it until I had a friend back in grade 6 who was a shepherd, who did have a flock, and went out to his farm and learned a few things about sheep. It was kind of surprising. But the point is, we're not part of that culture. we don't necessarily understand all the references in the Bible when it talks about shepherds. Shepherds in our world are, by the very nature of their job, they are like the hired hands that our Lord described. They shepherd sheep in order to shear them, in order to eat them, because sheep are their livelihood. And so death and fleecing of sheep means life for a worldly shepherd. It means mutton in your mouth and in the mouths of your kids. It means a nice rack of lamb on those special occasions. It means a good cable knit sweater for the cold seasons and a nice wool suit for the good times. And so sheep are a means to an end in this world of death. Sheep are there to be slaughtered and fleeced by shepherds. But the good shepherd defies logic. He defies the logic of this dog-eat-dog world. He himself becomes a lamb. He is slaughtered for you. He gives his righteousness as pure wool to clothe your nakedness. He lays down his life at the foot of the cross so that you need not be slaughtered or shorn as the sheep you are. He gives those who need the meat of life, he gives them his own flesh. Those who need new life and cleansing, he gives them his blood. Those who need to make amends for what they've done, he gives them his lamb's coat of righteousness. Those who have been fleeced by others, he gives them his own skin. His flock, then, is a flock that is full of wolves in sheep's clothing. It's a flock full of mice who would be men. It's full of devourers and thieves who have stolen and killed and destroyed and laid waste to all the good things around them. It's full of mice who have passively sat back doing nothing while the world trod upon them. But to those wolves and mice in new clothes, those clothes convert them. Those clothes change them because the voice of the good shepherd has called out to them. And he is good, for he dies in their place. He takes their sin and dies their death. Those whom he calls unto this faith in him then know his voice, the voice of their salvation. They rejoice to hear that voice. Their ears perk up when they hear it. They quit their aimless wandering and they follow in his footsteps. And in order to do that, they don't even need to lift up their heads, because they walk by faith and not by sight, which is to say that they walk by the ear. If any of you know anything about shepherds and sheep, shepherds call out, they sing a song, and the sheep know the voice of their own shepherd. And they don't even stop their eating, they just start moving towards the shepherd as soon as they hear the shepherd. The sheep are led by his voice. They hear him and they follow where his voice leads, even into difficult places, even into the death that you and I must die to sin and to ourselves and to the way of this world and to the thinking of this world. His sheep know his voice. His voice gave them faith and they know him through it, just as he knows them through it. Because through the word that you hear, he gets inside of you and lives in you, and he knows you intimately. Just as he listens to his father and is known by his father and never departs from his father, even though he left heaven behind. But he always goes wherever his father leads, even to the cross. And he didn't need to lift up his face to look at the cross. Instead, he set his face like flint to follow the Father. He listened. He followed, strengthened by his Father's voice of love for him. And even when the Father had to abandon him on the cross in order to make him the true sacrifice for sin, he went. He followed the Father's lead. And Ezekiel spoke of a day when the Israelites would be gathered by that good shepherd from amongst all the nations that their foreign oppressors had scattered them to. And this happened about 500 years before Christ came. But the true fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy came not in the return from exile of those scattered Jews 500 years before Jesus, but it came on a day of darkness when he died for the sin of all the world, for the wandering and aimlessness and purposelessness of our lives. He came when their God, their Creator, laid down His life for them and sent out His shepherds. And of course, that's what pastor means. It means shepherd. And He sent them out to preach this word which gathers the sheep into His fold. And this preaching has gathered you in. It's gathered me in. It's gathered the people of all nations in. For the good shepherd calls out and he gathers and he sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth through his gospel. And he keeps us with himself in the one true faith. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.